astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice. No, this world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only... He's only mortal, folks. Paul LaVoy.
Welcome to Speak Out. It is Tuesday, December 16th, 2025, the big day drawing ever so close. That would be Christmas Day, right, Chief Pete?
That's right.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm good. That's Chief Pete Palafis from Lake Havasu City Fire Department, and we have Chief Troy Sterling here as well.
Good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It is afternoon. I can't get used to that. Just have to wrap my head around that. And I'm keeping the music up because this is, well, like Pastor Robert said, Robert Smith, executive pastor at Calvary. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's really good. Try that again.
Yeah, it's good to
there
be
you
here.
Go.
There's the mic.
So the one singing is sitting next to you, and that's Jesse Pruitt. He's the worship pastor.
It's good to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. I look forward to meeting you for a very long time, by the way, ever since I heard we had an international singing star here in Lake Havasu City. So the reason I brought these four gentlemen together, though, was a recent event at Calvary. Is it Calvary Baptist?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Calvary Baptist Church on Highway 95. And it's, a fire.
Yeah.
The unfortunate incident of a fire. The last place you want to, well, you don't want to see a fire anywhere, but a church?
Yeah.
Chief Pete, you know?
We don't want to see fire anywhere.
But, and then it comes out that it was intentionally set, or allegedly intentionally set. Right, Chief Sterling?
That's correct.
Allegedly.
Yes.
So take me through the events. Where were you when all this happened? Was it after hours? Was it, what day was it?
Yeah, I was asleep. So I'm thankful.
Was it middle of the night?
Yeah, so I believe it happened around 1:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And so most of our staff was asleep. We did have an on-call individual who received the notification from alarm and was able to respond and provide assistance to our initial responders of our fire department, police department, as they were assisting us. But not at all how you expect to start a Sunday morning, waking up, getting ready for church, to find out while you were resting that the building was on fire.
Right, right. So what happened with services that day?
Yeah, we have several locations in town, and so we actually, the location on Sweetwater that was affected by the fire was closed over the summer for a major renovation. And so we had been diverting over to our old facility on McCulloch Boulevard on the south side there. And so we put out word through our communication channels. We had volunteers along the street as people showed up to church and just said, hey, there was an event. The building's closed. Drive over to our other location and just diverted people over there. And we came up with a plan that morning to worship in our other facility. But, again, they were unexpecting to roll into that as they were trying to get to church to worship that morning as well.
Were you going to lead the service, or was that Pastor Chad?
That was Pastor Chad.
Okay. I want to thank him as well for sending you two gentlemen. He had a meeting, unfortunately, and really wanted to be here, especially that it's close to Christmas. So,
for sure.
So, Pastor Jesse, were you going to that same service, or were you going to the other campus?
Yeah, so I actually woke up to Chad in my living room.
What?
Yeah, so Valerie, my wife, wakes me up, and she said, hey, Chad's in our living room. And I was like, uh-oh, okay.
Wow.
So he said, hey, Jess, what are we going to do? We got to have services today. And I said, we got to move it to McCulloch. There's no way we can throw this together last minute to be at Sweetwater. So that's what we did, as Robert said, and then send out the text and try to do everything we can to communicate that. So
that's a huge building going to a much smaller building, correct?
Yep. But we've been at McCulloch, and we were there for the rebuild, which we just did. So we had just got back into our Sweetwater building like 4 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And so we had been back at McCulloch, and we were able to, you know, make that happen.
So let's swing over to our first responders here. Chief Pete and Chief Troy. When does the were you on scene or were your guys on scene? What station was it?
So our initial cruise was Engine 5. It actually came in as a fire alarm. And I'll kind of, it initially we received a burglar alarm, and I'll let Troy, hit that, segment of the incident. But our initial company went to, respond to a fire alarm. And upon arrival, our crews got on the scene. Your helper was there. We saw water flowing out of it, and they immediately upgraded to a commercial assignment. So they got us more resources because we actually have a full activation of the sprinkler system going. We see water going out, and they see some remnants of smoke in the building. So obviously there was a fire. The sprinklers went off, so something set that off. And then we brought in the PD, too, because of, the conditions that were occurring at that time. So that's where we basically saw that the sprinkler system was working. The fire was pretty much in check. The sprinkler system did an excellent job. It really did exactly what it was supposed to do, is contain that fire to the area of origin. And then obviously we just need to shut down, before we shut down the sprinkler system, make sure that the fire is out.
Can you say what the fuel was?
So it was based on what the initial crews, they said there was some type of an accelerant there. There was smell of that. But this still is an ongoing investigation with a combination of PD and fire with
He's
that.
He's going wink, wink.
But it's not even so wink, wink, wink. It's just making sure that we get the facts there. But the main part is that no one got hurt, that the fire was out. But the thing is, it's the cause. It's the investigation. It's the story of what occurred up to this event of the sprinkler system going off, the burglar alarm going off, and what occurred is getting put it all together. So this is where then we work side by side with our police department after we determine that obviously there was some type of an accelerant there, is that becomes a crime scene.
That's fascinating to me. Not just the fact that it's an arson and you have to investigate, you know, how are we going to track down, and I know you go from point of origin and you work your way out with the cameras and that, but you have two lead investigators on this, one from the fire and one from the police?
I'll say it's a combination of both supporting each other, because we have fire investigators and then we work with the police with an arson case because they have the police power to arrest. The fire department does not have that luxury. We don't have a certified AZ post individual at this time, or that's why
Thank
we work.
Goodness, he's not sworn, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I would take him in a heartbeat.
Appreciate it.
No, those are great points, and yes, we do work close together. In years past, we did have a cross certified fire investigator, but we would also always still work with that investigator. We even in the past had our own trained arson investigators, so those things, it's hard to invest that amount of training into somebody and end up staying for a long period of time. So now we compromise with, we have expertise from both sides, and part of that is the collection of evidence. Where's that evidence going to go? Well, the fire department doesn't have a mechanism for storing that type of evidence, so that's where our investigators work hand in hand and end up doing the collection pieces and determining what needs to go to a crime lab for analysis if that need arises.
This wasn't a very long investigation, was it?
I mean, in the big scheme of things, no. For as large of an incident as it was.
Right. We're talking about a week and a half? I mean, I read about it in the paper, and there was already an arrest.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, it was a pretty serious, event.
Yeah.
And with the details, I think it's probably important maybe we kind of backtrack on, what was seen at the scene, and no pun intended there, and, how this the investigation really, went forward. And a part of that is, the response side of it was recognized that there was some type of a breached entry. And so looking at it, a window had been busted. It appeared that the door had been shot with some type of device, like a shotgun using birdshot, to breach the actual locking mechanism where entry was made into the facility. And then from there, obviously, it was noticed, that there was some type of flammable containers that probably contributed to the origin of the fire. But what's really cool is how the investigation started coming together at that point. You know, we talk about how fire department, police department work together, but having, you know, obviously we rely on any tools we can in our profession for obtaining clues. And in this case, surveillance systems was a key piece of that. Between the church surveillance system and then a neighbor in the area coming forward and saying, hey, I noticed a suspicious vehicle and I caught some of the vehicle on camera. And wow. So putting the two pieces of surveillance footage together, you know, investigators were able to come up with, okay, this is a certain make, model, color of a vehicle.
Wow.
And so from there, it's a matter of, okay, we didn't get any license plates from that, but we're able to use our systems that are in place currently in our community. We call it the Flock system. That's a license plate reader system. And so we have ghost cameras on each side of town and some mixed into our community. Well, investigators just start searching based on that criteria, mm-hmm. and they're able to find that make and model, and they start going through different footage, and they're able to link it to, ultimately, a vehicle that matches that,
right.
and we got a license plate. And so that license plate ended up coming out of New Mexico. And from there, investigators were able to start really diving into it from there.
Geez, that's just fascinating. CSI stuff, right?
It's using technology to our advantage,
to
help us tell the story.
Yep.
And it's a very vivid story that we basically can see what is occurring, and it narrows it down. Because when fires occur around 1:30 in the morning, they usually don't occur at 1:30 in the morning.
No.
So there's where some suspicion occur. Having a properly working surveillance cameras and operating, because usually when that happens, oh, that one's out of service. It's not working. It just seems like. But here it actually worked. Calvary does a great job maintaining their building and making sure that the sprinkler system is up to par, because it's just proven that it stopped the fire from spreading.
So my next question would be, I guess, to you, Robert, and probably to Chief Sterling, what's the motive?
I'm certainly not qualified to speak to that.
Disgruntled person who, you know, used to go to the church?
Sure, yeah, I can speak to that side. You know, when we were given the identity at the appropriate time from law enforcement, we have no record of him attending, interacting with us.
Wow.
From our knowledge, we were just an opportune location. We've not yet received anything that we had done anything or we had a specific target on us. Chief Sterling, anything?
I hope it wasn't my people, you know, the Catholics.
No,
I'm kidding.
No, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, ultimately, when there was a great article in Sunday's paper, I believe it was, that really outlined a lot of the investigation and the logistics of it. But yeah, there was, based on once we ended up apprehending this individual, the statements that were provided, there was nothing geared towards that church in particular. It just happened to be a great location. They had passed by it several times. But, you know, their admission was that they were looking for a response from law enforcement to have some type of confrontation with our officers. And so maybe a bad place in their life, whatever those, you know, their personal reasons were. Thank goodness all of that didn't come to fruition, but ultimately led to, you know, the investigation occurring.
Right. I want to take a short break and come back and talk about what surprised me the most and what really, I mean, I saw the article in the paper and that, but I think it was an Orchids and Onions post online Orchids and Onions, that the way the community responded, and normally I call it Orchids and Karens, right? It wasn't this time. It was a lot more supportive.
For sure.
It was very nice. Yeah,
that.
Very, very nice. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, broadcasting from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with a toy sink. It's right there, folks. The toy sink. We didn't have a kitchen sink, so Wayne Malone over at Neat Pools donated this little toy sink. And, you know, Marissa forgot to put the batteries in and all that, so she's still being disciplined for that. All right, Speak Out will return in just a moment. If you want to call in, say hello to Executive Pastor Robert Smith, Worship Pastor Jesse Pruitt, or even our Police Chief or Fire Chief, Troy Sterling or Pete Palafis. Give us a call, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Stay with us on Speak Out. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom. There you go. Those are great Christmas message right there, Pastor Robert, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We can go with that.
It's kind of got the Oliver Twist thing going on, right? Yeah. Give all the toys to the little rich boys. All right. Little Ray Davies and the Kinks, of course. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Springberg Wealth Management, Blonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and our newest sponsor, although they've been with us for three, four months now, A&B Propane. Real people, real service, no hiddenfees, no runaround. AB Propane, AZ.com. And be careful around propane, Chief Pete.
I will.
I know you will. I'm talking about everybody else out there. So before we get to the community's response in that, where are we at in the case, Chief Troy?
The case was put together after the arrest was made and sent up to the Mojave County Attorney's Office. And we submitted our charges, and then ultimately the County Attorney's Office went forward with a grand jury indictment for the charges of arson, defacing a place of worship, and ultimately burglary in the first degree.
I didn't realize that was a charge, defacing a place of worship.
Yeah, it's like aggravated criminal damage based on a location.
Depending on the circumstances, that could be a hate crime, too.
Yeah, if there was enough facts supporting that, it could lead to that, which was an important piece of this, because we wanted to know if that was, in fact, a thing.
Right.
But we didn't have anything that led us to that conclusion.
It's certainly a unique case, especially how many arson cases that you determine, you know, fires that were deliberately set, how many actually get solved?
You know what? That's a great question. I mean, the thing is, it's just having all the evidence and the supporting evidence to try them. I mean, telling the story through video, testimony, proof, it's a long process. And it just depends on the structure itself, too. If there's nothing left, then that's very difficult to solve. If you don't have the cameras, you don't have the stories, you don't have the witnesses, it could be very difficult to try an arson case.
Yeah, it seems to me the chain of evidence would be really critical in a case like this, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Pastor Robert, out of all the decisions made on the refurb and that with the church, the video system and the sprinklers, probably you're looking back on, man, I'm glad we spent the money on that.
Oh, for sure. You know, for quite some time now, building code requires sprinklers, so that's something that I don't know that we had an option in when we built the facility 10 years ago, but certainly we're exceedingly thankful for the things that we normally ignore in the structures that we go into. We don't think about the importance of egress and entry points for first responders, the importance of those spaces being accessible, the importance of alarm systems and sprinklers until they're needed. And so certainly the weekend following Thanksgiving, we had some new things to be thankful for.
Wow.
The cameras, same thing. They provided great tools for our responders, and they were, a huge part from what we've been hearing of them putting the pieces back together.
So, Jesse, I want to talk to you on this. It's a little personal for me because my drums survived a fire once, not directly in that room, but a band house fire type thing. What was going through your mind when you heard there was a fire at the church and your equipment obviously is there?
Yeah, I was definitely wondering, what got set on fire.
Yeah,
We didn't fully know, but a lot of our equipment had to be taken to go get checked out, like my own personal guitars and pedals and all that kind of stuff.
That's expensive.
That was sitting in water, the awesome part was it put the fire out, but then there's water everywhere, which affects things that are plugged in
to mention the smell.
Yeah.
Later on, it takes a while to go away, for smoke damage to go away.
Yeah. But as everyone has said in here, we're just so grateful and in gratitude that all this stuff is replaceable, and we're just grateful nobody was hurt or harmed or anything like that.
Tell That's a musician that, though, right?
Yeah.
All this stuff is replaceable.
Yeah.
It's sometimes hard to fathom, but when online later and the discussion started popping up about the church fire and there was an arrest made and, it was in Orchids and Onions and that on the Herald's Facebook site.
Yeah.
What was it? You're looking at these reactions going, are these people from Havasu? Because that's what I was doing.
Yeah, we love seeing that response, and we're so big on redemption because we know what God's done in our life, and we know what he can do in someone else's. And so for us, we love seeing that our community, you know, we want to see somebody who's done something like that, we want to see that justice too. You got to go through the process of that, because that is part of the redemption, where we grow and learn and get healing for the things that we carry, or maybe the things that this guy was carrying.
Right.
But also, we know that there's forgiveness and there's hope. And that's for all of us. Like, we need that hope every day. So for us, we love seeing our community. Robert, I'll let you speak into that too. But
yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask Robert too. Is there a chance that the church would reach out to the suspect once all this is done, 2-3 years down the road?
Oh, 100%.
Really?
We've already been in contact with a local law enforcement when that would be appropriate and been following their lead.
Wow.
But we certainly have a desire to have, you know, some appropriate interactions, and if nothing else, to communicate that we know that he was in the right place for the wrong reason. He was looking for hope. He was looking for answers of the struggles and whatever it was. We don't know all the details of what he was carrying.
Hmm.
And we know that, hey, a church is a place of that hope, that healing, that wholeness that he obviously was looking for. He was just there for the wrong reasons that morning. And we'd love just to point him to the fact that Jesus Christ, the reason we celebrate Christmas, is the very way that we find hope and healing in this life. And regardless of what we've done in our past, it's available to us. And that's available to this man just like the rest of us. And we'd love to be able to deliver that message.
What's been the financial reaction from the community? Or has there been, or is it something that you guys are saying, you know, we'll take care of it?
You know, there's a balance there. Some of our internal people have come forward with generosity. We obviously have insurance, and they've been involved in the process. If you've worked with insurance claims before, you know that's not a speedy process, and there's financial implications to get back open. We had to spend some money getting things, you know, rental equipment for things that have been damaged, getting contractors out there to come up with solutions that get us reoccupiable. You know, our community as a whole has been incredible. We've had a lot of vendors step forward and say, hey, when you're ready for this service, we'll take care of you guys. We'll donate these materials. We'll support you guys. We've really felt loved and cared for by our community through this process, and that's been so encouraging, because we just we love our community, and seeing them reciprocate that has just been very encouraging.
Yeah, there must be a newfound sense of togetherness.
100%. And this is, moments like this are why we love our community here in Lake Havasu. You know, we all talk about, oh, this is a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family. And you never want a tragedy to remind you of that, but sometimes the tragedies do bring out the good, and they remind you of the blessings that God's given us, the encouragement of a great community, and this has provided an occasion for that.
So switching to Calvary Baptist Church and your services around this time of the year, what do you have to offer the community around Christmas?
Yeah, so we're back open every weekend. We've got three locations here in Lake Havasu. We've got the main location we're talking about, Sweetwater, across from Bash's on Highway 95, so that's open every weekend, Saturday at 5, Sunday at 9:30 and 11. We've got one on the north side out in Desert Hills, and one a little further south. And then we'll be doing Christmas Eve services as well across all of our campuses. We'll have 10.
Wow.
If you want to go visit this location that we've been talking about so far, we'll have 1, 2:30, 4, and 5:30 p.m. services on Christmas Eve, and we'd love to have you.
How many do you get to do?
I'll be at all of them. So 5 of the 10 I will personally be at.
What about you, Jesse?
I'll be at 4 of them.
At 4?
Yeah.
4 out of 10? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of speaking, isn't it?
Yeah, so I won't be the main presenter. Uh-huh. Pastor Chad will be doing that, but I'll be doing some scripture and some welcoming times and things like that.
Well, it's wonderful, and God bless your church and everyone that goes there. And it just, it's like a Christmas miracle almost, but it's not around Christmas. But it's good to see that you're open again, because with this community without Calvary, I don't know, I can't imagine it.
I appreciate that.
I've met Pastor Chad, and he's been on the show for our Good Friday show before.
Yeah.
And it's just class all the way. You know
what? Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank
appreciate
you to
it.
Our law enforcement and fire departments as well for your response.
Thank you.
Feel very cared for by you guys. I appreciate that.
Chief Pete chomping at the bit to talk about Hazardous Waste Day.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a great segue.
Yeah, sure.
All that hazardous waste from the fire. I'm kidding, guys. All right. You know, I have a weird sense of humor being a news guy, right?
Yes, you do.
All right. Thank you. All right. Again, that was Executive Pastor Robert Smith. Worship Pastor Jesse Pruitt, thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show.
Thank you for having us, Paul.
You glad I didn't have him sing, or should I have?
That's up to you. It's your show.
All right.
You do great at it, though.
Also, Chief Troy Sterling, Chief People Office, will be back in a moment. Brother Jim, I think you booked a meeting or something. He's been kind of strange when it comes to the schedule lately. He's always asking me, what day are we on? Anyway, back with more in a moment. If you want to text us, give us a shoot us a text, 727-5566-928. 727-5566. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Mike Love and the Beach Boys, and yeah, I heard of Mike Love on Good Sunday recently with Roger Galloway.
Really?
Pretty cool, yeah. I'll never forget, though, Mike Love, when the Beach Boys accepted their induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he said, in his speech, he said something about having to sing Little Deuce Coupe or one of those songs, you know, Barbara Ann, I don't know, 300 times a year. And how it can get a little tiring, you know? And Mick got up there. Mick Jagger's like, what do you think we do with Satisfaction, man? You know? I never forgot that. But I'm playing the song because Jim's not here. No Jim Russell. But this is definitely Jim Russell's genre right here.
It is.
Right?
Yep.
Kind of makes you think of Jim. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere. Also, Mojave College, samsguns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, and the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with Bobby and Julie Lewis, of course. And this Christmas season, I don't say holiday season, by the way, guys. I know you have to or whatever, your HR departments and that. But this Christmas season, buy local, or it's buy local. And does it seem like all the inspiration and everything just left the room? It's just us three now.
Yeah.
All the inspiration's gone. Like, wait, come back, Pastor Robert. Anyway, welcome back to the show. And there's more to talk about, of course, than the Household Hazardous Waste Day. But you can hammer on it if you want.
Yeah, I don't mind doing a highlight. Appreciate the partnership with Republic Service and the city in hosting these annual events for the Household Hazardous Waste. The thing is, we do them, we have been doing them twice a year. So it's in December and April. And this is a time for individuals to get rid of those items in your garage that are just sitting there. A couple of the takeaways for this hazardous waste is that they serve as 283 vehicles. The majority of the recyclables were batteries and electrical waste this year. So sometimes we see a difference, and usually paint's high up there in regards to recycling, and then used oil and gasoline were kind of consistent with our previous household hazardous waste. We're always looking ways to be more efficient in regards to pushing these out and getting the line quicker. It is a free program for Havasu residents, and we're trying to do them, twice a year. And basically, we do it April, December, to give a chance for individuals to get rid of their household hazardous waste properly instead of in the landfills. And that's with the lithium-ion batteries. This is a great location to recycle them. Do not throw them away because they do cause fires in the garbage trucks and in our landfills.
How do those fires start? Is it from a leaky battery
It's just when they get compressed and chemical reaction, and then obviously it's with combustible stuff that basically lights up. And then you have thermal runaway where basically it's just reacting.
Whoa, Einstein.
Thermal runaway where basically the chemical reaction is basically the
endless
components. Yeah. Of a battery. That's why it takes such a long time to put out electrical vehicle fires.
Yeah, I understand that. Believe it or not, from a nuclear reactor standpoint, I understand that that's what, kind of what meltdown is.
Yeah.
It just it keeps going.
Yep, and it gets hotter and hotter.
Right, right, right.
So the thing is, I, again, appreciate Republic Service does such a great job with the city to host these events. And we're always looking. We're actually going to do a debriefing on this one, hopefully at the beginning of January, and to see what we can do to be more efficient and, you know, continuously offer the service. So
debrief these things.
Yeah. Well, just to see what we could do to make it better, maybe the flow better. Because the thing is, the city continues to grow. Guess what else starts continue to grow? Garbage.
Ah.
So the thing is, I mean, it's a constant. So the thing is, we're going to have to look at better ways, and maybe I think the twice a year is a great way. And if we see consistency, that means we're doing a great job. If we see the demand increase, then obviously we're going to have to potentially provide that service a little bit further.
Chief Sterling, you know what the difference is between him having an MBA and I don't have an MBA?
What's that?
He calls it a debriefing. I call it a post-mortem.
It is a lot different, yes.
That's the difference, right? They teach you, don't say post-mortem when you go to get your MBA.
No, they don't.
It seemed like there was a longer line this year? Or
Yeah, you know what the thing is? I wasn't at the event, but I had our coordinator with represents the fire department, and our CERT team does an amazing job volunteering for that. So kudos to the CERT team that actually assisted, and they've always assisted with the hazardous waste. But Republic Service, we had a newer company that actually took ran this household hazardous waste through Republic, and it was, I mean, I saw some of the comments and stuff. It was a little late, but they still, you know, were able to service that many vehicles from 8 to noon.
Well, it's important, too. You were talking about the garbage can fires earlier, and there was actually one at that facility that was recent.
Well, we've had a couple out at the landfill that have been frequently, at least about 3 or 4 months ago, and we responded out there, and it becomes a hazard.
But you're not surprised when the source of that, you go, okay, lithium.
Yeah,
lithium
the majority of it is. Everybody tries to hide stuff in their garbage, and, I mean.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, you know, that's a good point, though. What advice would you give somebody that has disposables that maybe they don't want to wait? But they know they have to. Where do you store that stuff?
So the thing is, obviously, you're not going to charge it. You store it in an area where this is going to be for my household hazardous waste. I know it's sometimes patients, but the thing is, there are some, and I think, and I'm not going to. We have it on our site, Home Depot. Lowe's, they will accept some of the stuff that our household hazardous waste will accept, but we have these, again, twice a year. And can we get better at it? Yeah, we're going to always look for continuous improvement moving forward with any program that we can offer our residents to make it safer.
Right. So, Chief Troy, last time you were here, we talked a little bit about graffiti and that.
Yes.
And there was a reward since that's been offered for the graffiti around Main Street. And the silent witness for $1,000.
Yes.
And that's private money, folks. That's not from the city. That's privately raised money from us folks over at Havasu Silent Witness. Is there an update in this case?
Yes. Well, I would say first and foremost, sending out those tips, that information, it resulted in people giving us some anonymous information.
Nice.
And so there's I was hoping to have a more positive update today. It's still moving forward, but some of the information we got led to us serving search warrants on social media type platforms to be able to try to identify a potential, at least an investigative lead. The good news is the graffiti seems to have slowed down, which is fantastic. And, of course, we addressed that at city council meeting last Tuesday just to talk about the whole process and the team effort that goes into not only from the reporting aspect, but the investigation and then the cleanup. And our community takes that very seriously, and a lot of generous people in this community help with the cleanup efforts.
I can't imagine it being a local person.
Sometimes they are, though. Or somebody that's transplanted here from somewhere else, right? That may have had some ties to that type of, if you want to call it gang life, where they were at before.
I don't get it. You look at a blank wall and see it as a canvas? I don't see it. I don't get
What's sad is some of them are very good artists.
Oh, very good. Yes. Very, very good. Any other updates you care to share with us? Because you guys aren't going to be on in January or February because of legal holidays and that to fall on the... You're going back to the third Monday of the month, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, what time?
Well, that now in March, you'll be on at 11.
Okay.
Because the time change will happen. So I went over that with his assistant. So Joy's assistant, right. Jennifer's got it all down. Yeah, he doesn't need to remember anything.
Jen keeps us in line, yes.
He doesn't, Chief Troy doesn't need to remember anything.
That's right.
It's you that I worry about.
I know.
Chief
Sometimes
Pete.
I do.
So
I just call Troy.
I will say, kind of piggybacking off the whole conversation about Calvary Church, they've always been a very supportive hosting site for us for our academy, our police officer graduations. And so it was nice. We had ours last Friday, and we had 12 that graduated, four for Lake Havasu City Police Department. But just want to say thank you to Calvary for hosting that. It's such a great venue for our graduations. And so we were happy to see the facility get up and running again as well.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I am.
Okay.
The attrition rate, now you had four graduate, how many started that you had nominated?
We had six that started the class and in July, and so we ended with four, which is still pretty solid.
Yeah.
Some other agencies weren't as lucky, but we anticipate hoping to have three going into this next academy, which starts at the end of January, and then entertaining if we continue to have applicants come in and they pass our background process, that we may look at other academy options. Yuma has a good academy running down there, and so just something that we'll have to look at alternatives.
What's your typical candidate like?
Well,
do you have a typical candidate, like age range? Physical?
No, really male, looking female. At somebody that has done their preparation, their homework coming into it versus just showing up for an interview.
How so?
Well, we have individuals that don't know what they're even interviewing for. They come in and like, what do you know about Lake Havasu City Police Department? And nothing really.
Really?
So it's like people looking for more of a job versus looking at it as a career opportunity.
Right.
You know, and even that, before we even get to the interview process, we have the physical fitness. And it's not a very strenuous physical fitness process, but some come to that not even prepared for that. And so it's just you question their heart, really what they want here. So we're really looking for those individuals that put some thought and effort into the process going into it. There are some that you see that have probably the ability there, potentially that heart, that they just don't come in very prepared for the interview. And so we'll give them helpful, you know, tips for how to prepare better next time. Sometimes that means going on a ride-along with an officer, getting to know, you know, what the job is actually about, and actually do a little bit of internet searching, and you can kind of really put together a nice game plan on how to answer interview questions.
Yeah, Chief Pete, you have the CTE program, of course, and you can say, I know how many high schoolers want to have a career in the fire service.
Yeah.
But it's a little more difficult for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, trying to piggyback as much as we can off of what Chief Pete and his programs have done. But, you know, we have our cadet program. That's the 14 to 21-year-olds that are interested. You know, that's a volunteer program. But we expanded with that with our apprenticeship program. So we have – it was geared towards our cadets between the ages of 18 and eligible for academy at 21 to come in as a contracted employee and essentially get to know – how our culture is, the philosophies, the work ethics, all of those things, and provide you some skill sets that'll help you prepare for the law enforcement career. And so that's going well. We have one right now, and we have one that just went to council that we'll have starting in January, and we have some in the background process for our third available position.
I wanted to touch a little bit on these mass shootings that are out there going on now. You know, it's not something you would think would happen in Havasu, but it still could happen
In
Havasu.
Absolutely.
What is your outlook on this?
You know what? It's one of those things that, yeah, we do have the small town mentality that, you know, hopefully it will never happen here. I know from our perspective, we know it's always something that could pop up. we're going to respond appropriately. We're going to deal with that. I think it's the organized chaos, we say, you know, where we're really going to have to, you know, unify commands with fire, police, and other resources in our community to really come together and navigate through that. Mm-hmm. But the initial response to those, our officers are going to respond, and we're going to take care of the threat, and then it's dealing with it, the aftermath.
I like the sound of that. All right, and is it something that really goes through your mind on these religious holidays, like, you know, these 8 days of Hanukkah?
Yes.
Or Passover, Easter, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Just a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Anything you want to wish the community, Chief Pete, as far as a Christmas message from the Lake Havasu City Fire Department?
Yeah, I just wanted to just be safe. obviously, be cautious at home. Make sure that you're paying attention of what you're cooking. I want everybody to have a happy holiday, happy new year, and kind of put it over to Troy. You know, be responsible. Yeah. You know, especially when you go out and enjoy. Sometimes your actions definitely affect other individuals, but they also have consequences to it, too.
Yeah, it can make for your worst day and their worst
correct,
day.
Correct. And yeah. Just, hey, this happy holidays and happy New Year's to everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I piggyback off that. A lot of traveling. A lot of people are traveling. And so it's, you know, if you're driving, drive responsibly. If you're out there going to get-togethers, you know, don't drive under the influence. Buckle up, slow down, be mindful, you know, really practice that defensive driving, and just look out for one another. This is the merry season, right? So, yeah, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas as well.
I think for me personally, there's a lot of people out there who may be alone in a city, may not have family here, they may not be able to get to that family in another city or town, or maybe, you know, they don't communicate well with their family and that sort of thing. If you see somebody out there that looks like they might, you know, need a place to go for the holidays, it does, I mean, if they look safe anyway, I would say they could reach out to them. What do you think, Chief Troy?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's a good gesture, but you don't want to get into a situation.
I think there's
the
probably a lot more of that going on than we actually, what's visible
so?
To the community. Yeah, I think there are a lot of really caring and generous individuals and organizations out there that do, you know, reach out and provide that assistance. You know, some don't want it either, but there are some that will, and it could be as simple as, you know what, just providing somebody with a blanket and a hot meal. Right.
We used to have a company here. You remember Gotta Have a Java? And they would work Christmas Eve and Christmas night, and they would deliver to the first responders coffee and hot chocolate and that.
Yeah. Yes.
That was a nice gesture, too. You remember that?
No, maybe I wasn't here when that.
You should get that going with your grandmother's old. What nationality are you?
I'm Greek.
Greek? There you go. You got to have a hot chocolate recipe, right?
I'm sure we have a Greek one.
All right. Perfect. All right, we're going to take our last break of the hour. Great to have you guys on.
Yep. Awesome.
You got the red, you got the green, and I got the red.
There you go.
And we're Christmas colors in here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, go Cardinals, too. Go Bears?
Yeah.
Your Bears are doing all right?
Ah, Bears. My fantasy is doing okay.
Really?
Number
this year?
Seven. I lost my quarterback, so.
You lost your quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, Mahomes is
dead.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're toast for the playoffs.
I know, I am. I'm trying to pick up one right now.
All right. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll see you in March.
Sounds good.
Yep.
All right. Perfect. Back with more on Speak Out in a moment. I've got a little angler's message to give to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Right on, from Chuck Berry to the Foo Fighters. That's right, Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters doing Run, Run, Rudolph. All right, so Anglers United has been around since 1992 in Lake Havasu City. Let's see how badly I can botch this with very little reading. They've organized some of Havasu's top fishing guides in the community to talk about a variety of fish species in our lake and how to catch them. The first of these is tomorrow night. December 17th, tomorrow night, 6:30 at the Mojave County Library here in Lake Havasu City. It'll feature Nick Young of Nick Young Outdoors talking about striped bass. They're expecting a very big turnout with doors opening at 6 p.m. Again, it's tomorrow night, 6:30, Mojave County Library. Nick Young of Nick Young Outdoors talking about striped bass. And that's courtesy of Anglers United. It's a $5 donation to help offset Anglers United's expenses. And you can check out their website at anglersunited.org for more information. How about that? Pretty cool stuff. All right, tomorrow's show, pretty sure it is the Real Estate Power Hour. Boom! All right, Chadwick will be here along with Bobbo, and we'll talk about all things real estate. Got a new real estate show coming on, too. Yeah, it's girls. It's girls talking about real estate. It's actually pretty cool. We'll do a little preview of that tomorrow. All right, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.